with As You Wish Talk Radio, and we're hoping to get our guest on, Alfred Weber. But it seems to be his phone was off on the, busy, and then we got the answer machine. So we're going to continue to keep trying to get a hold of him, and hopefully we can get him on the show. If you're out there, Alfred, and listening to the show, feel free to contact the station. You can call 877-876-5227. Or you can call 888-815-9756, and hopefully we can get you in on the show. We've got some exciting things going on anyway. There's some amazing things happening that I'd like to talk about, and we can open up the lines for calling if we can't get a hold of Al for today. But anyway, we've had some pretty strange activity up here at the ranch lately. One of the things that's been going on is we've been having pretty rainy weather. And in between, the clouds are opening up, and we get a nice hole of clear weather, and it's just crystal clear skies. And actually, two nights ago, we filmed something that was pretty outrageous. I was out there for just 20 minutes, and we saw over 20 ships, and it was just insane. And they were coming in and dropping down and powering up and responding to us on the ground. And it was quite amazing. It was just unbelievable. And then, you know, pretty much the clouds started coming in and it started fogging in again. And we've had some great people come up to the ranch that have had their own experiences, and they are very much aligned with what we've experienced. And just last night, some of the guests saw some amazing activity of ships dropping down in and powering up and getting really big and then zipping all over the place. So they had their experience, and it really makes me happy when other people have the same experiences and they can walk away knowing that, you know, it's real for them. But last weekend we had just phenomenal activity again on the mountain, and we filmed some things that are just mind-boggling. The mountain opened up right dead center in the middle of the mountain. There was a massive light. It looked just like a ship powering up. It was just enormous, and it went on almost all night. And it got really big, and we need to do more analysis on this, but when the light opened up to its maximum, it looked like this light being walking out of the light straight towards us, and the being was extremely large. And we caught it on the infrared on the video, you know, it's a mind blower when you see something like this walking towards you. You know, this being that's got to be, I can't even guess how tall this being was or how large it was. But anyway, we need to do more checking into this one, you know, and see exactly what it is. But at the first glance when we saw this thing, it looks like this being walking right towards us coming out of the mountain. We got some orbs, those phenomenal orbs that everybody wants to call dust spots and water spots. We have these massive orbs coming right up to the camera and just sitting there blinking. Okay, I tell you what, we finally got a hold of Alfred here, so we're going to see if we can bring him on and get this connection going. Alfred, are you with us?
Yes, I am, James. You know, it was very strange. I was sitting here waiting for your call, and my phone was not ringing, and I happened to pick up the phone to call you, and fortunately, I picked it up and was speaking to BBS. So through that miracle, I'm very, very happy to join you.
I love that when that happens, you know, mainly because I'm sure you're getting all the same things we're getting. You know, I know the station is getting all kinds of crazy stuff happening with their phones and problems. And here at the ranch, we've had our phones actually shut off on, you know, several occasions. And we went down there and say, why is our phone shut off? And they go, we don't know why. And they go, your bill's paid. And they said somebody called in and gave the right passwords and everything and said, have it turned off. You know, so it's pretty insane. And I said, well, I'm the owner. One time they wouldn't even believe me. That I said, look, check on your phone right now. I'm calling you from my home phone telling you, you know, that there's a serious problem here, and it's going on and off, on and off. And so it was really weird. You know, they, even though They cut off our long distance twice, so we couldn't call out any long distance, and I'd call them from the very phone, and they said, well, how do we know it's you, and you don't have the right password? And I just went, oh, my God, you know. So
right.
But it's been, you know, a lot of interference, and it, exactly. To me, you have a choice. You get really upset with it, or you just kind of follow your intuition and roll with the punches or whatever, and
exactly.
Keep going forward.
Exactly.
Have you been having trouble with your phones as well, or?
No, well, only when I'm going to go on a program where it really makes a difference. So I guess we're really doing some change agenting on
yeah.
this program tonight.
We're bringing out the real information, the stuff they don't want you to hear.
Well,
right. I think I don't know if you heard the first part of the show. I was just talking about we're having just phenomenal activity up here, and we saw about 20 ships in 20 minutes. We had ships powering up right overhead, one after another. It's just the skies are getting crazy right now, and we filmed this massive light on the mountain, and it looks like a light being walking out of the light. It's just amazing, but, you know, we're filming the orbs, you know, that everybody says are dust, and, you know, and but we have them coming right up to the camera and pulsing on and off, you know, and then interacting with people, and, you know, we have photographs of these orbs going through walls, you know, and then my next trick is to put a wall up out in the field, like a big, just a wooden wall, maybe two sheets of plywood, and have the camera aiming straight at it, so the orb goes through the wall, and you can catch it on both sides. And then it's totally over with. You know, they can't use any kind of excuse of it being dust or pollen or whatever, because pollen doesn't travel through solid objects. You know?
Right. Exactly.
You know, but what's up in your neck of the woods? Anything new and exciting?
Well, you know, we are following so many different fronts,
mm-hmm.
And I guess we're following what I would call both domains. One, the domain of love and expansion,
mm-hmm.
and the other, the domain of fear and contraction.
Yeah,
and those are two domains which seem to be going on simultaneously. We can call the process breakdown breakthrough, which is what some systems analysts have said, when you have a mega shift,
mm-hmm.
like we're having now, the process is that you have a simultaneous breakdown of the old and a breakthrough of the new, and these processes are going down simultaneously. And the item that I was looking at, which I guess is to pick up a thread that we were talking about when we left off a couple of weeks ago in our show, was to begin to look at the whole economic fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's really coming up now in some of the analysts that have tried to do a matrix that charts what's going on in terms of Earth's alignment with the massive black hole that's at the center of our galaxy. Of course, there are black holes at the center of every galaxy. They're like stargates at the center of every galaxy that exists. And our black hole was, quote, formally discovered by science in around the year 2000, although the Mayans knew about it, and, you know, the Mayan calendar was supposedly a Pleiadian calendar that was given to them. In 2006, 2007, science went on to discover that most galaxies have, probably all of them, have a black hole at the center. And
mm-hmm.
black holes seem to regulate time, because time gets distorted, and that's what the Einsteinian equations were really all about, and that's why time seems to be accelerating now as we're coming into alignment with the black hole at the center of our galaxy. The size of that black hole is about, if you put it together, it combines about 4 million. If we put 4 million of our suns together, it would be the size of the black hole at the center of our galaxy. The Mayans had a name for it. They called it Unamku. And you can imagine it's so little a part of our culture that it was first formally discovered in science in the year 2000. So while people think of the sun and all the effects that the sun and the coronal mass ejections have on the planet, they don't even think about the effects that the black hole have on our planet and on our livelihood. And it has huge effects because, for one thing, it distorts time. And it distorts how fast things are happening. And according to one matrix, things are happening 20 times as fast, say, between the years 1999 and the beginning of 2011, as will happen in the year 2011 itself, i.e., time is accelerating by a factor of 20. So that's why it seems like, my gosh, all of a sudden it's Saturday night again.
I've noticed that same thing. And, you know, there's two other things that people don't realize. The galactic plane that we're moving into also affects the sun, which totally affects the Earth.
Exactly.
And you know, and light is conscious, you know, and so more light, more consciousness, more shifts.
Exactly. Now, in the department of fear and contraction, which is what the old order is trying to do, because it's desperately trying to hold on to what it has. Those are the guys that monkey with our phone systems, and you know, who they try to keep my phone from ringing so I couldn't get on, but somehow I picked up the phone, right, and somehow I got through. This is a news item, and it was sent to me by Matthias Chang. He is in Malaysia, and he's a political secretary to Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, who was Prime Minister of Malaysia for 25 years. He's the father of modern Malaysia, and he is sort of one of the elder statesmen of the Islamic world. He's a very venerated elder statesman, and he is the fellow who convened the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal. This is Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, and who invited me to be a judge on the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal. Well, his chief political secretary, Matthias Chang, who's a very learned barrister, runs a website in which he has kind of a lot of cutting-edge economic news. It's called futurefastforward.com, and he just sent me a bulletin, and I'll read just the first paragraph. He says, "Missing the big picture, it is the U.S. sovereign default and the unilateral substitution of the U.S. dollar with another currency that is the impending crisis which will devastate the global economy." This is dated Sunday, 26 October. So I guess this was last Sunday. "No doubt that the leaders in Beijing at the ASEM meeting," this was a meeting last week, "did discuss the global food crisis as a consequence of the total bankruptcy of the U.S.-based financial system. However, the main thrust of the ASEM meeting was, and the Washington summit in November 15, 2008, that's just a couple of weeks from today, will be the decision already made by the U.S. ruling elites that the U.S. will go into default and the U.S. dollar will be replaced with another currency. This decision will be imposed by either the Bush regime in the remaining months or by the victor of the presidential elections in November 2008 when he assumes office in January 2009. So that's what I was, you know, was reading as I was preparing for the program here.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had been looking at the issue of the whole economic collapse as a second 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the first 9/11 on September 11th, 2001, was a false flag operation by this global elite at multiple levels. One level of which was to launch a global war of aggression and a domestic war for a police state. Well, they haven't been totally successful, although they've certainly tried. But at a deeper level, it's part of a spiritual war to enslave us as souls and to keep us from linking up with our larger galactic and universal brothers and sisters in the upper dimensional ethical extraterrestrial civilizations, the very people who are out at the ranch signaling back and forth and who are in the dimensions beside the orbs, or inside the orb, should I say.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine if this being, you know, that he's got to be like 300 or 400 foot tall light being would show up, you know?
Right.
What are they going to do with that?
Exactly. So this force of fear and contraction, they've invented money, you know, which is a total invention as a means of control.
Mm-hmm.
So that looks like the card that they're going to use now to try and bring everybody under control.
Yeah.
So we've done some analysis about money and the total, which turns out to be a total money, turns out to be a complete psyops and a scam. And we've done some analysis on that, which we can go through.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very enlightening stuff, but it is some of the work that we've been able to go through. The other thing that we've been doing in the past couple of weeks, which has gotten a lot of attention, is that we have actually been able to blow the cover. And I think that this may be part of why we're getting so much attention on our phones. We have actually been able to blow the cover in a credible way that actually proves it, on a major psyops led by U.S. Naval Intelligence and the U.K. Ministry of Defense,
mm-hmm.
and their secret space fleet, which overflew the Texas White House on January 8, 2008, with a 524-foot to 1,048-foot spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Piloted either by U.S. Air Force pilots or by, you know, some of the lower-level ETs, but they have been pulling this psyops and trying to suck in the U.N. They use the Vatican, the U.N., they use ABC News, they use all of Larry King Live, all the major media to say, oh, the extraterrestrials are here. They released a Federal Aviation Radar report with 2.7 million radar returns of this craft that overflew the Texas White House without any, it overflew it unopposed. You know,
yeah.
There were no scramblings or anything, but it's not an upper-dimensional spacecraft. It's not a biosensitive spacecraft. It's a solid metal spacecraft that is 500 to 1,000 feet across. So it's one of their spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
So
if it had radar returns on it, they were picking it up, they would have definitely notified, you know, whoever's in the vicinity, and we would have had jets up the wazoo scrambled.
Yeah.
You know, for that
event. Yeah. Yeah, and so U.S. Naval Intelligence throughout 2008 has been setting up this huge psyops to, you know, to try and fool the world, you know, into saying, here come the ETs, to where the ETs is either their secret fleet, or it's some kind of ETs that they have a treaty with, you know, the Orion-based Greys or something.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, they are, you know, they're prosecuting Gary McKinnon for 70 years in jail for exposing the fact that they have a secret space fleet.
Mm-hmm.
And U.S. Naval Intelligence is operating HAARP. So we were able in an article which is solidly referenced to completely expose this psyops, and you know there's been a fair amount of flack that's come back on us since then, but you know we just kind of blew them out of their water.
Yeah. You know, we were talking earlier, why does the Navy have all these inland bases? And, you know, you look at the gates of these things, and it says, you know, Department of the Navy, and you're going, well, wait a second, you know, what? Why are these guys out in the middle of the desert? You know, why are they in these, you know, secret underground facilities everywhere? And they seem to be the guys behind most of the back-engineered activity. They're the ones being ones in control, but now they're trying to act like the good guys. And what I've seen, too, is that to validate this is a lot of the UFO groups out there, and, you know, a lot of the MUFON groups and a lot of the have been heavily infiltrated, and especially the major conferences are getting heavily infiltrated by these ex-military guys. And when they talk, you hear them talk, they totally push the New World Order, say how wonderful it's going to be. You hit them up on chemtrails, and they said, those brave boys are risking their lives on our behalf. And you're going, oh, yeah, dumping chemicals and biologicals on us that are known carcinogens, and they're risking their lives, you know, up in the plane. And you know, these guys are it's unbelievable to hear them talk about the, you know, the major Illuminati names and how they have a wonderful new world planned for us. And they're on the boards of these major UFO groups. And you know, it's pretty interesting. You are seeing a lot of that coming forward, and they are all putting out a very dark agenda.
Exactly, James. Totally. I totally agree with you. And now it appears as though the Navy or the Air Force or whoever's doing this is using their space fleet as part of their psyops. They're actually conducting maneuvers with their spacecraft, like overflying the Texas White House, like doing all of these light tricks at Stephenville.
Mm-hmm.
Just as soon as we released this article, the lights started up again at Stephenville.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a psyops. It's a complete psyops. That Stephenville, Texas White House is a total, total U.S. Navy Air Force psyops. And the proof of the pudding is that for the first time ever, a top secret governmental a top secret committee was overruled, and the FAA was allowed to release the radar report of the craft overflying the Texas White House as part of the PSYOPs. And that craft is not an extraterrestrial craft, but they're trying to sell it like it was an extraterrestrial craft. And they've got Larry King live on there selling it like an extraterrestrial craft, and then they have ABC News saying, oh, these extraterrestrials are coming to invade us.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. so they're setting up the extraterrestrials as the invaders.
Well, you know, I sent an email out just recently to everybody on the list, and it shows the technology of Project Bluebeam. And this other guy is actually showing his computer how he can do holograms and everything from his computer as a sales technique, and showing cars and women dancing and everything, and they look just like they're real standing there, you know, 3D holograms. And I said, well, there's the technology. So
exactly.
if you think it doesn't exist, here it is in a commercial application, and they've had it for probably 50 years now. They can create a hologram of anything they want to put, you know, up in the sky, and any kind of religious figure or whatever, and totally prey on people that have, you know, religious backgrounds, you might say.
Yeah, we were sent a this email that apparently North Dakota is now a no-fly zone.
Mm-hmm.
And there was speculation that perhaps this was to set up kind of an Operation Bluebeam situation, but you know,
yeah.
there's no. But that's why I tend to like orbs, because orbs are something that come from a spiritual dimension,
mm-hmm.
and they come from a dimension of consciousness, and so they cannot be duplicated by the technology of the New World Order.
And exactly.
And that's a complete validation there,
mm-hmm.
of the presence of a living and interactive consciousness, which is you know, really, really looking at us. But that, you know, the other area, James, that we've been active in over the past couple of weeks is that we've been looking at the effect of HAARP, the space-based weapon of mass destruction,
mm-hmm.
And its effect as a mind control agent. Of course, HAARP has three components. It has a space-based component, which is the weaponization of the ionosphere. It turns the ionosphere, which is the uppermost layer of the upper atmosphere, into a giant electromagnetic antenna.
Mm-hmm.
And it has an atmosphere-based component, which is the chemtrails, which facilitates reflectivity between the ionosphere and the ground-based components. And the chemtrails also serve as a binary weapon to be used against civilian populations because it is meant to depopulate the aged and the infirm through
mm-hmm.
respiratory illnesses, and that too is an invisible weapon system component, because any government agency or any legislator anywhere in the world or any mainstream newspaper that talks about chemtrails, instantly they lose their job or they're, you know, otherwise persecuted. So it's
mm-hmm.
it's a censored thing. And then, of course, the ground-based components of HAARP are disguised as research facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been exploring the uses of HARP as a mind control weapon in the 2008 elections, both here in Canada and down in the U.S., because a number of people have been reporting that they've had these dreams of Obama. And they were saying, why am I suddenly dreaming about Obama? We had witnessed a talk by a former Department of Defense scientist. This was at the Nexus Conference in Australia, where he presented that actually the electromagnetic fields of HARP are used as a field transmitter for all sorts of thoughts and kind of software that is transmitted into the minds, especially during the REM state of sleep, which is typically between 3 to 5 a.m. when people have REM state dreams, of the population, and that these dreams about Obama that people are having is favorable dreams about Obama that are being beamed into people's minds so that they will have a favorable and supportive image of him and they will vote for him. And of course, they used to do that during the Bush years also, where they beamed dreams about Bush into the U.S. and world population's minds.
I couldn't figure out. Everybody I talked to just were fed up with him after the first one, totally. You know, they didn't trust him on the first election, and then the second election, they totally couldn't stand or mistrusted him. And then he gets in there again. You go, what the heck happened?
Yeah, of course, because Diebold, the chairman of the board of Diebold, of the Diebold election machines, is Admiral Bobby Ray Inman, who is a deep cover defense intelligence espionage agent, and basically the military intelligence controls the voting machines. And
so now we're going back to Admiral again to the Navy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. And the Diebold company makes all of the ATM machines, which have paper trails. And, you know, and it gives you, you know, they work fine. But they've created voting machines which don't leave any paper trail and which can be completely manipulated. So in the 2004 election, even though the exit polls showed that Kerry won, the Diebold machines were manipulated via the software so that Bush would win.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened in the 2000 election also. And so that you have an entire society in the U.S. where there isn't the integrity in the voting machines because the U.S. Naval Intelligence has taken it over. So that's basically what the situation is. Of course, with Obama, he, like McCain, are both trilateral commission-backed candidates. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who founded the Trilateral Commission on behalf of David Rockefeller, who's the principal Rothschild agent in North America. Brzezinski has two sons. And one son is the foreign policy advisor of John McCain, and the other son is the foreign policy advisor of Barack Obama. Lord Rothschild held a fundraiser for John McCain in London, backing John McCain. John McCain is constitutionally ineligible to run for president because he was born in the Canal Zone, and all the naval officers who were born in the Canal Zones in various territories have been briefed all of their lives that they could not run for president. And I just watched tonight a videotaped interview with Barack Obama's step-grandmother in Nigeria, in which she said that Barack Obama was born in her village and that she watched the birth. And and she has so testified. And so so the United States, if Barack Obama is elected, will have an illegal alien as its president. Now, perhaps that's sort of karmic justice. But I figure that the Rothschilds and Rockefellers are so smart that what they did is that they wanted Obama because he's very telegenic and kind of manipulative and very smart. So they put up McCain against him because neither one was qualified to be president because neither of them are native born.
They can pull a plug on him at any time.
Yeah, and in the lawsuit that was brought to challenge Barack Obama's native-born citizenship, the judge was faxed the 37-page opinion to sign it. And that's up before the Supreme Court right now, the Supreme Court of the United States. So once again, the Supreme Court of the United States is going to choose the U.S. president. So, you know, you've got a banana republic. What can I say, John?
It's gotten so crazy now. It's just become a really bad joke.
It has.
I just have to become the observer. I can't even get wrapped up. I can't even wrap my mind around what's going on anymore. It's just so insane. But, you know, when we realize we are actually ruled by the insane, then it all makes sense.
That's the best way to do it. These people are cosmically insane, and we are sort of the ground troops here, and the ethical extraterrestrials are, you know, kind of looking at us there and waiting for the time, I think, when we all kind of rise up to the level, which I believe will be happening in the post-2011 2012 time frame because we have to give time for as the Earth enters in more into alignment with this gigantic black hole, the influence of the acceleration of time and the frequency of energy will be such that their institutions and this whole insanity cannot sustain itself and will begin to collapse. And so
it has to, so
we just have to, you know, maintain ourselves firm and really keep ourselves focused, keep our eyes to the sky and move forward.
You know, I have my own theory about a black hole is that basically the Big Bang, you know, actually originated from the black hole, and you can't have expansion without contraction.
Right.
So the black hole is actually a gateway from another dimension that actually contracted its consciousness down to the zero point, and then bam, and then the Big Bang went out. So what we're aligning with is this higher dimensional consciousness and energy that set creation into motion. And how are these guys going to fare, you know, when they're holding on to all these really base emotions and all the guilt and karma and everything else that they're carrying? And they're going to be going up against this energy that's coming in. They're not going to do too well in the very near future.
That's very well said, James. That's exactly, for example, the philosophy that the Mayans had of the black hole at the center of our galaxy, and they saw that as sort of the mother of creation coming out, and so the more that it's like black hole science and black hole awareness is just starting entering into our culture. It's like it's like we've blocked it out, and we haven't really become aware of this awesome presence that is you know, ruling a great deal of our lives, and for the better. I mean, it's like a huge strategic ally, and so it is awareness of what of this of the changing gravity of the black hole and how it can so positively affect our circumstance over the next 3 to 10 years has been, like, for me, like the greatest cause for optimism.
Yeah.
Because it aids us here on the ground in a way that I can think of no other force that can really help us break through to the type of society that you know we know is possible.
You know, I'm really glad you said that, because one of the things I keep getting, and I get phone calls constantly, and people are saying, give me something to be optimistic about, because what I'm seeing now is such an entangled mess. They just can't find anything left to give themselves a ray of hope or anything else. And I always tell them it's just temporary. It's darkest before the dawn, and there is going to be a big unraveling of this tangled mess that we're in, and just get out of the way and let it happen, and know that there's a much brighter future waiting after this mess gets untangled, you know.
Well, in terms of the matrix we're looking at, the next step on this matrix starts November 12th, 2008, where what they call the fifth night of the galactic underworld ends, and we start the sixth day. And the hallmark of the fifth night of the galactic underworld, the galactic underworld goes from the beginning of 1999 to the beginning of 2011. And the hallmark of the fifth night, which goes from November 2007 to November 12, 2008, is the collapse of the economy of the old order. And so that's the phase that we're going through now. And so as we go into the sixth day, those of us who are working with the light are going to be given even that much more impetus to work on our positive projects. The secret in this whole thing is to focus on the positive projects that you're working with and to really build those. And so we're going to be given a lot of positivity, coming out from the universe. And now, kind of moving on a great leap forward. Conversely, the old order is going to start collapsing even at a more accelerated rate. So both of these things are going to happen simultaneously, and the idea is to be able to maintain multi-dimensional consciousness such that even though it looks like everything is collapsing, in fact, our world is getting even stronger.
So
it's like a paradoxical thing, because 20 times as much change as will happen between 1999 and the beginning of 2001, 20 times as much change as happens in that period will happen in the year 2011 alone, because of the time acceleration factor as we approach alignment with the gigantic black hole. which rules time. That's what it does. It bends time. Mm-hmm. And science is just now discovering that it's just starting to deal with time as a dimension and how time affects consciousness. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, the plenum light is itself. It's an aspect of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a blanket that reaches out throughout the entire universe. So we can really sustain ourselves in this period and thrive. And possibly the greatest tool is to maintain that multidimensional consciousness and know that, you know, all these dimensions are happening at once and breakdown is happening, but that's just one dimension and we don't have to identify with it. But breakthrough is happening, mm-hmm. and it's this whole world, the fifth world that we're inhabiting and that we're inheriting because that's our heritage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a... what I also see, too, is there's an acceleration of karma, you might say, or the as you sow, so shall you reap, or action, reaction, whatever you want to call it. That's going to be greatly accelerated. And, you know, the true definition for Armageddon is the great uncovering, which is really happening as we speak. Everybody is really seeing just the total lust for power and greed and wealth and control happening, you know, with this ruling elite, and it's being exposed right now, and you know, as it should be. So, I just see that there's those phases that we're going through. We're in Armageddon right now, and you know, what humanity does as a collective is going to determine the outcome. It's not set in stone. The outcome is if humanity just rises up and says, "We're done. You know, no more war, no more greed, no more separation." You know, no more actions against humanity and the earth. You know, we're going to accept the new quantum physics that everything is connected and everything is one. And you know, if enough people figure this one out and rise up and stand firm in that, we don't have to take this, you know, to World War III or total destruction.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, but,
yeah. We have those two different paths. One is a path toward dystopia, the other is a path toward utopia, and scientifically, we're headed toward utopia. We are headed toward a positive future, and that's a scientific fact.
And it seems the ones that are headed in the other direction, that, you know, that direction always consumes itself. It always collapses.
Exactly.
And it goes into all the Native American prophecies. They talk about the two paths, and one just ends. You know, it ends in total collapse, and the other one that is aligned with brother, sister, love, and aligned with nature, and lives in harmony with each other and the planet, that line keeps going.
And their purpose seems to want to drag everybody into their own demise.
Exactly.
You know,
because
they are, so they have nothing left to do but to try to, like, pull the wool over everybody else's eyes. So by just focusing on our own and shining our own light, then it just may be now that starting in 2000 and 2008 and 2009, that it's really that inner discernment is going to be really needed, because the dismemberment of the old is going to start really, really fast.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the breakdown of the old economic system.
Mm-hmm.
May really start.
They're all unraveling. The you know, the institutions and the isms and the religions and everything are all starting to unravel right now, and they're getting more fearful and more judgmental and more demanding. You know, that people you know, toe the mark or whatever. And that's just pushing more people away. And pretty soon people are going, you know, this just doesn't feel right anymore. And and they start feeling that other source coming in, you know, which I would call the real God, if you need to give it a name. But they feel this more supportive force of that pure, unconditional love and joy and bliss go beyond all the names and images and doctrines and just start being kind to each other eventually.
Exactly. Yep. Two basic buttons, fear or love,
mm-hmm.
cosmic love. And love, even in exopolitics, you know, as a science, they say that that love, and these were the findings, the replicable findings of remote viewers who would go out in the universe and visit other planets and have conversations with representatives of other planets and bring back the information. It's how we built the science of exopolitics, among other sources, is that cosmic love seems to be the glue that holds the universe together and holds societies, advanced societies, together.
Definitely.
In the universe. And
I see, I always tell people there's three things people fear most, and one is change, and the other is the unknown, and I think their own greatness. And we're coming into a period where people are going to have to stand in their own power and allow that greatness to come forward. And it doesn't mean you overpower others, you empower others. And we are going to be moving in that direction. I think the lights are turning on across the planet, and people everywhere are starting to wake up to this message that, you know, that everybody has their own unique purpose and, you know, their own God is within them, and it's time to get on with it.
Exactly. Exactly. Sure. Yeah, it's just a truly magnificent time. So we were just in terms of the exopolitics world.
Mm-hmm.
This has been quite a couple of weeks. Because we were able to expose this huge psyops whereby U.S. Naval Intelligence has been trying to take over exopolitics. And I think that it's an ongoing struggle because, James, you've rightly identified that you have all of these naval and other, you know, compromised agents on the boards of all these institutions and in the conferences, etc. But at least we can expose them now so
mm-hmm.
that people will know what the situation is. At the same time, we've been able to construct the framework to bring in a lot of the learning that the Pleiadians brought to the Mayans, and now that we can bring forward in a scientific way through the science of black holes
mm-hmm.
that has now been developing from the year 2000 forward. And the astronomers don't know about consciousness, don't know about black holes and consciousness,
mm-hmm.
but the Mayans knew about it, and we know about it.
Yeah.
So that's a new element that I think that we can now begin to communicate, and that will make a difference, because exopolitics and exoconsciousness are sort of these twin tools that we can also use in terms of communicating to the mainstream world and beginning to open up paths out there. So that's some of the tools that we've been developing also.
Yeah. You know what? We've run out of time. I'm probably going to have to get you back on the show again so we can finish all this.
Okay.
And so your website's exopolitics.com?
Yes.
And so people can go there and find anything else out. And
exactly.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. And
absolutely.
It's been awesome, and we'll do it again soon.
Okay, thank you very much, James.
All right, this is James Gilman with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening, and don't be fooled. Follow your hearts and trust your inner guidance. Good night.